One, two, three, four. I did not become someone different that I did not want to be. But I'm new here. Can you show me around? Woman in a bar told her I was hard to get to know, about impossible to forget. She said I had an ego on me the size of Texas, but I'm new here and I forget. Does that mean big or small? Shedding plates like a snake. It may be crazy, but I'm the closest thing I have to a voice of reason. Turn around, turn around, turn around. You may come full circle.
All right, CKN listeners, and we are back. Again, I apologize for this show on the 16th of December, 2010. But yeah, I cannot play the things I want to play and the things I feel I need to say, but...
Years or 60 years, I've been signing international agreements and signing all your sovereignty away.
I'm going to take you to a clip from Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com so I don't just rant and rave and bitch about this. And recommend you let him break down what's going on for a few minutes while I settle into a groove here and break down a couple of key things I have for you before the weekend. But again, if you don't like what's going on, if you don't like the fact that the equipment wasn't working on Monday, and it wasn't working today on Thursday, and it wasn't working for my previous lovely co-host, Ms. Natasha Von Castle, and so on, then do something about it. Get active about it. Many of you donated thousands and thousands of dollars to the station. So we'll make sure we get things working around here for you. But you got to say you want it. You got to say you want it from us. You got to say you want all of us to step our games up. So please feel free to.
Of society and humanity. It's a complete, all-encompassing system you're born into. And you're being programmed for the next step and the next step, beginning with childhood. And you don't realize that's what's happening to you. No one tells you. And most can't even figure that out. But you've been led for an awful long time by people of the old Bernays school and the people who took over after him and added all the new data to their science with behaviorism and so on. Now they call it neuroscience and neuroeconomics and all the rest of it. It's how things affect you, how you will react to things. But they know where they want to take you, so they've got to change you. That's the beauty of this science. Because in the old days, of course, politicians used to think that they would just give reason out to the public, give them facts and be reasonable, and their logic would make them see your point of view. And then they understood that people don't really work that way because people run on emotions. They run on various factors and various impulses and things running through their mind and so on. And so these are unconscious or subconscious desires, etc. And Bernays was a guy who first publicly came out and used the science. I say publicly came out because before that there were many people before Bernays who understood this very old science. And Bernays was given the accolades for transforming America into a consumer society. There's the key right there. If you can't get the public to do what we want, then you alter the public so that they will do what you want. You alter the public. And no one had thought of that, at least in the 20th century. It had been done before in previous centuries, but that's the trick of it all. Alter the public and train them. And that's what government's into now in a big, heavy, heavy way. You have been all your life being trained for the next step of what's to come, the next part of society, including the communitarian society. There's many names for it now too, but that's what's happened, and the general public are oblivious to it. They always have been. They're kept oblivious by the media, and the media's job is not to tell you the truth. That's come out of actual court trials, that the media's job is not to tell you the public the truth. That there's nothing in any law that says news must tell you the truth on anything. It's an arm of government. And of course, accompanying that too, you have the entertainment industry, the vast, incredibly well-organized entertainment industry that can make you laugh and cry and make you angry and implant many things in your head. That's how you do it too. You embed something you want the public to think about and be this way, and that'll be their opinion. You embed it along with an emotion. So it's emotive embedding, they call it. And that's really what the movies and so on are all about. And they can also, through the culture industry, debase you to such an extent that just like in ancient times, the truly, truly pagan people, they're into a lot of debauched culture, were easily ruled over by their masters, whether foreign masters or their own masters, didn't matter. They were easily managed. And that's what you want to do if you want to bring down a society at a certain time too. You give them quite a few years of this preparation, and you alter them in such a way so that they will behave the way that you want them to, exactly as Bernays talked about in a few of his talks. So it's an ongoing procedure, as we see, ongoing all the time. The mind job that's been done on the whole world's population since 9/11 is nothing short of fantastic, and the guys involved should really get all the Oscars and all the big awards from the United Nations as well for doing such a fantastic job in brainwashing the public into such a state that they can't remember where Bin Laden was supposed to even be living, if he was indeed even living, and if it had anything to do with 9/11 at all. Because I can remember at the time Afghanistan was the country they wanted to attack. They'd already said that 10 years previously with the New American Century Group that was in government when Bush was there. and they wanted to attack Afghanistan, and then Iraq, and then Iran, and then Syria. And Israel actually wanted them to continue all right down through the whole lot of them without stopping, in fact. That was in the papers at the time, for those who have memory. But it's astonishing that they actually did polls in Canada to see if the American public thought that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 9/11. Because the U.S. swung its guns once it was into Afghanistan, it swung its guns on Iraq, and the next thing you knew, the Americans really started to believe, through nothing but media propaganda, that it had always been Iraq who was behind it, and it had always been Saddam Hussein. And they did polls, and they published them in the Canadian mainstream papers, and said that within a few months, the American media had been able to convince the most of Americans that it had nothing to do with Afghanistan. They'd forgotten all about Afghanistan. It was Iraq that was a problem all the time. That's the power of propaganda and repetition. It's really astonishing. Now it's so easy with the internet to constantly have the pulse on the public and what they're twittering and tweeting to each other, like little birds in a tree. A lot of chatter, but they have no power whatsoever. They just don't know it. But they know exactly what you're talking about and complaining about, and they know when to switch their gun sights on any other country, like Iran, for instance, when you're ready for it, when you're not. And they always do it when you're up to your eyes in new taxes and big regulations coming down the pike. And to be honest with you, most people, and I've got to say this, most people really don't care about those people abroad getting blown up and killed. They really, really don't care. They really don't care at all. Most folk don't. And of course, because they've been basically diffused, you might say, no one will care when they get slaughtered too. I used to think of the Soviet Union, and I've seen enough of the horror films that have come out of there, the documentaries of, you know, miles of bodies and incredible efficiency of which they killed people and disposed of them. It was incredible. It was like factory work almost, the way they did it. And of course, we know that the Germans copied the Soviet system, and Nazi Germany sent teams to the Soviet to learn how to do it. But they never got all of it. They were never anywhere near as efficient. And that continued after World War II as well. And I've never forgotten these scenes. I never will forget these scenes, because there's certain things you must remember, or it will definitely happen again. And I honestly think we're all being led by the debauched society they have created. We're being led into the very same kind of system and scenario where mass culls could very well be done by governments on their own people. I really, really do believe that. They'd prefer to do it the slow way they've been doing it for ages, vaccinate the West, kill them slowly, not all at once, for instance, with vaccines, and change their food until they all have cancers of the stomach and so on. So with GMO food. But they really don't get the big picture at the bottom at all. They still think things, because they've been trained into this new form of paternalism. You're being well taken care of. Big brother really is here, you think, and you've got rights and so on and so on and so on. Even though if you simply watch and scan the occasional piece of news with riots in different countries, more in Greece, Britain's going through its riots with students who've got massive cutbacks in their funding to get to university. And you see the brutality of the police now. Since the 80s, the police have changed drastically, and Britain and elsewhere all at the same time. They changed from being peace officers to enforcement officers, and that was no mistake. That was to get the message out to you that the guy who wears black is the executioner. The change from blue to black uniforms. Black has always been the executioner. So you're being trained towards something. And going back even further, the wonderful great front group, the United Nations, with the statistics, etc., have been churning out statistics from the 60s saying that the gap between the rich and the poor is widening. And with this new system that was coming in, of course, what they meant really was to replace all the industry that you would have once it was going to China, which is electronics or computerization, service industries, they knew that eventually it would only last for so long and then the riots would start. So the boys at the top are not stupid. Never ever think for a second they are stupid. I'm not talking about the politicians, by the way. But never ever think they're stupid and they don't know what they're doing. They're just handling things as it comes along and dealing with the crisis as it comes along. Never make the mistake of thinking they're stupid. There are very, very clever people who are hired to scour the world for the think tanks, the guys who work for the think tanks, who scour the whole planet to find the right personalities, you know, the cold-blooded psychopathic types who can dissect society or an insect, it's all the same to them, and decide what kind of way to handle the public to get them to this stage, to the next stage, to that stage, and to accept this, that, or whatever. And what you have to do, of course, as I say, is create the debauched society where there's no morality anymore. You know, the old way of giving morality was through churches. And you can say what you want about churches. They certainly they were not saints, believe you me, that ran the churches. But at least it gave people some moral compass of what was socially acceptable, so that their society could maintain itself intact in some kind of semblance of peace without killing each other or robbing each other blind or diddling each other's children. I'll be back with more on this after this break. Hi folks, we're back and this is Cutting Through the Matrix, just talking about how the big boys knew, and they wrote about it too, when they destroyed religion to replace it with a form of moral relativity. But in reality, the ideas would be given to you through the media, again entertainment industries, of how the new culture should be. And science, of course, would also be heavily involved. And as I say, we have neuroscience now and neuroeconomics to make sure that punishment and reward, the power of the purse, is used in the last phases of this particular system, which it is.
And we're back, CKLM listeners, here on December 16th, 2010. Apologize for the technical difficulties. I do try and chop up a great show for you. I do try and make it a brilliant sonic experience between the interview clips and the music to give us the energy to handle them. But we'll try that next week again here on CKLN Radio on Mondays and Thursdays. Your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ. You can reach me at blackchristian@gmail.com or viJay.sarma@gmail.com. To send me any news tips or any info or anything you want to know or you want discussed on the show, because there's a million parts of this agenda, and we've been prepared for this agenda for years and years now. I'll give you an example from Vigilant Citizen, and vigilantcitizen.com is one of the best websites out there for deconstructing our culture. And this is how the animated series G.I. Joe predicted today's Illuminati agenda. I'm going to read this from Vigilant from December 9th, 2010. G.I. Joe is an iconic cartoon TV show that marked an entire generation of young boys during the 80s. Most fans still recall the main characters in the epic gunfights. But what about the storyline? A look at the TV series in today's context is quite a strange experience. Many of Cobra's far-out plots are actually happening today. Could G.I. Joe be a case of predictive programming? We will look at some G.I. Joe episodes describing the replacement of U.S. dollar and usage of mind control on celebrities and civilians and see how they relate in today's context. And this is, he's saying here, as a guy who grew up in the 80s, I can personally attest that G.I. Joe was definitely on the menu in my after-school TV cartoon lineup. If you're a younger reader, let me tell you this, at the risk of sounding like a grumpy uncle, G.I. Joe wasn't your wimpy Dora the Explorer cartoon. It was a half hour full of badass characters, face-kicking and laser-gun shooting their way to victory. And that's pretty much what I remembered of this TV show. Laser-gun shootouts until recently. A reader of Vigilant Citizen recommended I view a particular episode of the series called Money to Burn, which depicts in great detail a vital part of today's NWO agenda. I was in shock. So I watched other episodes in the series, and this is what I saw. Psychological warfare, tapping into occult forces to obtain political power, military research funded by huge corporations, and mind control used on civilians and celebrities. The series pretty much summed up the entire contents of the Vigilant Citizen website. Most of the shady things are accomplished by Cobra Commander, the bad guy of the show who is a ruthless terrorist aiming for world domination. The Joes always manage to stop Cobra, however, dismantling his evil schemes in an orgy of laser gun fire and spectacular explosions. So, watching the show today can be a little bit unsettling. Because of the open access to information laws, it says here, and the internet, it is slowly coming to light that today's shadow governments are actually carrying out most of Cobra's plans in real life. News about these plans comes on a daily basis in mainstream news. And did G.I. Joe contain predictive programming, a technique based on planting ideas and concepts in the brains of viewers in order to make them seem normal and easily accepted when they actually happen? And that's one example of predictive programming in our culture, and there's tons and tons of it. And it starts off with the education system as well. Our minds are basically molded to take the next wave of propaganda. And you can look at something like Twitter, for example. Now, people wonder often, you know, why should we care if we're being spied on? Why should we care if we're being surveilled? Well, the truth is that the people doing the surveilling, you know, governments or corporations on behalf of governments who often sell governments their information, the information they glean from their customers, they're using that information to try and brainwash us better. And the more data they collect on us, the easier it is for them to brainwash us better. And so, how did they prepare our minds for Twitter? Well, you know, you start seeing email signatures, you know, getting shorter and shorter, people signing off with initials. You start seeing the comments, YouTube comments on message boards, and a preference for shorter and shorter comments. And all of that birthed the dawn of Twitter. And you know, I have a Twitter account. You can get at me at twitter.com/MayorVeej. A nod to the campaign and keeping that sort of vehicle for communication with people in Toronto and the people who voted for me going. So twitter.com/MayorVeej, where I kind of go off for an hour, drop 100 tweets, and then bounce. And hopefully there's some nuggets of philosophy there you folks can enjoy. But I have an example which concretely represents how little value Twitter is when it comes to taking the information seriously, including about people you allegedly like. There's a young rapper called Soulja Boy. Came out about 3-4 years ago, and he's kind of one of the new guard of young kids going for money and bragging about they swag. And he has 2.5 million followers on Twitter. And you know, as a young rapper dude, you know, with his shiny chains and big house and fancy jewelry, you know, he's living the life. He's living the life, you know, according to, you know, what we see on TV as the life we're supposed to live is. So with 2.5 million Twitter fans, he released an album called The DeAndre Way, referencing his first name with his face on the cover, looking kind of off into the distance in a sideways view, sort of like, I guess, Soulja Boy getting soulful. And it sold 13,000 copies. 13,000 copies. He has 2.5 million Twitter followers. So 2.5 million people supposedly take him on Twitter and want to follow his every 140 character at most utterance. And yet only 13,000 of them went and bought his album. So what does that reflect about the medium versus how seriously we take the message? And is Twitter and our other forms of social networking like that, where we kind of randomly blurt out things, you know, ways of making us take them less seriously, even if we say they're serious? And there's even, you know, if you look online on YouTube or on message boards and elsewhere, you'll see comments and you'll, you know, you can even hear these made occasionally by people, but there's sort of like a conspiracy crybaby thing, you know, where every once in a while we go, wah, we have to do something. People have to wake up. But the process of actually breaking down how we could accomplish that isn't dealt with. There's big ideas, like we should all stop paying our taxes, or we should all launch a general strike and get off work one day, or you know, everyone should refuse the naked body scanners or groping at the airports. But the methodology for how to discuss doing that is not something that's discussed as in-depth, you know, for a variety of reasons. But that is the scientific indoctrination right there. When you can have a goal, and there's many other goals in this culture, and you know, you can think of ways to achieve them. And when it comes to the goal of informing more people wherever you live about the New World Order agenda so they can resist it on a multitude of levels, and the plans to figure out how to do that aren't made on a regular basis or discussed on a regular basis, then you can see the evidence of the scientific indoctrination. So clearly we got to get past that. And clearly that's something I try and do here on today's Rude Awakening show. Or on the Rude Awakening shows. That's what I'm trying to do here on today's Rude Awakening show, in terms of breaking down, you know, how we can get around that. And part of that is, of course, learning our history, learning that G.I. Joe and most of our other fiction is, in fact, predictive programming, which means we can basically predict the next part of the agenda, the Brave New World, the apocalypse, you know, the secret societies. Go to a chapters and check out the teen reading section. It's all vampires and the occult, and it's all this craziness. And so you can tell that's going to be brought out more and more in our culture and normalized. And by the time we actually see it, if someone says they're a member of the, you know, the Masons, or they're a member of, you know, this occult group or that occult group, you know, we'll take it as normal. You know, maybe not something that we endorse, maybe not something that we prefer, but certainly not something that we, you know, take a lot of umbrage with. And so that is part of the plan. So we have to resist that planning. That planning is part of, you know, what's happening here. Quick check of the Metro here says, ham over turkey this holiday. Whatever time in the festive season to hone your comedic talents, joke-telling skills, take practice. And it says here, do you wish you could be on a holiday ham? Do you wish you could be a holiday ham? The one who tells jokes at the office or neighborhood party that actually make people laugh. Your efforts at humor can bring the ho-ho-hos you crave if you follow expert advice. As a professor with Humber College's comedy program, Larry Horowitz has taught at least 3,000 people to be funny and says he's never met anyone who couldn't successfully tell a joke. This is what we're being given focus on the cover of the Metro. All while there's a million things going on that they could talk about and focus on, of serious importance, we're being encouraged to be silly, to be funny. And this is part of making sure we are unable to take serious things seriously, like personal and political problems, both. They're sort of both related, because most of our personal problems are caused by our indoctrination that is created by the people in charge of our political system. Also on the cover here, Hustle and Flow, album sales don't faze Flo Rida. Not much work for Jack Nicholson unless you count Laker games. Boozer and the Bulls gore the Toronto Raptors. So Carlos Boozer and the Chicago Bulls beat the Toronto Raptors. Trouble brewing at your party. Alcohol and co-workers do not always mix. And U.S. files suit against BP. All right, finally, one serious article in here out of a number of ones in the cover. But you can see what we're given to focus on here in the 21st century. Inside, ad with H&M, two lovely Asian girls, one sort of hugging the other one, you know, who has a peaceful, orgasmic, meditative look on her face. And the New World Order wants to destroy families, nothing against all the choices out there that we have and the choices that people make, but they are promoting, you know, a single parenthood, lesbianism, homosexuality, not because they especially like those groups. They fool a lot of them with the AIDS myth out there. And including the recent news that it was cured through some sort of stem cell transplant. Basically, you know, AIDS is fake. Go to rethinkingaids.org or the other side of AIDS, or aliveandwell.org, excuse me, for a bit more on that. Won't go into it again on today's show. But the bottom line is that the New World Order is trying to destroy your family. So if you knew someone was pouring stuff in your coffee that was making you not like your kids, would you get mad? That's the New World Order, the forces, the shadow government behind globalization, who we're dealing with today. And so when you see ads like this, is it possible to reverse engineer some of the programming out there? You know, when you see the skulls that adults used to wear, but we're kind of fickle, and so we kind of moved on from that fashion trend. But when you see them all over children's clothing here, and you see a skull on a child, how does that alter your impression of the child over time? You know, at once it's just cute. Oh, look at the little badass or whatever. But over time, you know, skulls used to warn us not to drink things when we were kids. They, you know, we were told they were on poison bottles. If that's on a bottle, don't drink it. You might die. And now we're seeing a classic symbol of death being advertised everywhere on kids' clothes, on sweaters, on mittens, on toques. And we have to see if we can recognize that and if we can reverse engineer some sort of better explanation for it than merely accepting it. Rob Ford faces first test of pledges, dropping the vehicle tax, slashing office budget, nearly certain of victory. Hat-trick tougher since making TDC an essential service is difficult to swallow for many counselors, a survey found. So we're seeing Mayor Ford work on a few things, the $60 vehicle registration tax, superfluous, little cash grab by the government of $5 a month or $60 for the year, trying to get rid of that, and that's good. But based on Mr. Ford's philosophical outlook on politics, is there a way we can get the word out on the streets of this city, like people could do in any city, to push for even more? As someone who may be an honest counselor who was pretty much in opposition for 10 years, preaching a more conservative approach to policies and a more conservative approach to spending, now that he's in office, can we use that in our advantage? Especially when we're wasting money on tons of things, and we could be spending money in better ways, or simply reducing taxes by reducing government spending. That's the thing about governments people don't realize. You have to, as a department, you have to prove you're important. Otherwise, you might lose your funding. And you got to spend your whole budget every year. Otherwise, you might not get the same amount of money next year. And so you have to constantly keep trying to grow as a government agency. And so it's up to the people to keep an eye on that to make sure it doesn't get too out of control, because the bigger government gets, the less freedom we have in general. Keep flipping through the metro here. Schools can keep private daycare deals, says the premier. Before and after school programs are a key component of Liberals' full-day kindergarten plan. Quote, we heard from some parents about concerns about us taking away their early childhood educator, taking away a program that they already had confidence in. They didn't want that to be broken up. So, just a bit on the history of education. In the late 1700s, late 1800s, in Prussia, what became Germany, the Prussian Empire at the time wanted to have a standing army and create the best army in the world. So they were the first to introduce formal state-run education to create the next generation of soldiers. And that was the original plan behind the type of educational model we still use today. And there's a bunch more on that. Charlotte Iserby at deliberatedumbingdown.com has more. She was on the Alex Jones Show a couple times recently and talked openly and plainly about the Sovietization of America and the world as we move into a new system of globalization, a new green communism based on the threats of climate change and a redistribution of the world's resources as a response to that. So we do have to watch out for that. But enough of me on today's show on the 16th of December, 2010. Hope you enjoyed a little rundown of the news. Would love to have more clips for you next week and do the show I plan to do. We will try and push for that here at the station. Thank you again for your donations. If you want to donate any technical expertise as well, please do contact the station and see what you can offer and see if we can work out something. Other than that, we'll shout out a couple of websites before Mr. Bill Watson takes over with your four-hour jazz bungee experience. The websites I want to shout out include VigilantCitizen.com for more on this G.I. Joe article and a bit more on predictive programming and how our culture works. Also, Infowars.com, ton of news happening there, as well as great analysis from around the world about what's happening in the system that we are all going into. The economy is supposed to get worse, folks. In 2011, Mark Carney, the head of the Bank of Canada, came out with stern warnings on all this. So we do have to pay attention when the mainstream media is starting to sound like the prophets of doom in Conspiracyville. It may be time to get hip to that and get active in the info war. Another great website, Mercola.com for natural news, naturalnews.com as well for natural news,
fluoridealert.org for a bit more on fluoride. Get some info, pass it on to a friend, get them to get a water filter. If we at least start that process, that can lead to a final legislative change to pull it out of our water supply in this city, as other cities have done worldwide. VRAN.org for vaccine exemption forums. Locally, TorontoG20Exposed.com. You can see a movie about the G20. Big, big news and developments. The Karma Police article by Joe Warmington in the Toronto Sun recently reveals the cops and the are still talking about the G20 a lot. It's still a really, really hot topic among them as they try and figure out what's happening with respect to our descending into the New World Order and our attempt to ascend out of it into something better and plan our own futures as opposed to accept one that appears to be a little bit shaky. Also locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, Press4Truth.ca, TheConspiracyCulture.com, book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles, and of course, the Toronto Street News, published by the legendary Victor Fletcher. I'm out of here, folks. Have a fantastic weekend. Do your part out there. Share some web links, share some info. Start looking at people and start looking at this info and start looking at how this info can help those people. And if we all emulate that process, excuse me, I'm sure we will achieve some results. Peace out, everybody. Take care.